What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, John Sparks, here for Sparks of the Paranormal. Thank you to everybody who listened to our last episode. That was so much fun. We learned quite a bit there with John from Project Wolf. That was nuts. Tomorrow is going to be another great episode. Not tomorrow. Next week. I'm recording it tomorrow. Anyway, guys, today, a really cool episode for you. This guy is out of Bristol, Tennessee, and he's been investigating off and on for 27 years. That's almost three decades of investigation, research, and information that is right here with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Joe Vitale. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good.
Did I get that last name right?
It's fine. You got it.
I'm a sucker for trying to get people's names right. Like, I have this weird thing. And, yeah. All right. I tried. So, Joe, let's dig in here. Like, when you first wanted to look into the paranormal, did you have an experience? Have you just been obsessed with it? Or were you like a skeptic that's like, it's not happening, I'm gonna prove it's not happening?
So what got me into the paranormal? Actually, I didn't really want anything to do with the paranormal. Yes, the old cliche of, yeah, I had an experience and wanted to get answers, you know, that whole story. But what happened here was, growing up, lived in a house that had something very negative in it. And when we had moved in, it definitely didn't feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I was just the only one. Yeah. But as it turns out, there were other people in the house that were experiencing things. And it was terrifying. It was scary.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, I grew up basically a Christian family, but I had a family member, very, very, very Christian, just like, you know, Bible thumper type. And it was all demons. Ghosts don't exist. Demons, 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 demons. Read the Bible. And I'm being filled with all these scary things at the time about, yeah, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil. And then it's like, all you got to do is just, you know, pray and Jesus will come and help. But it's like, I'm experiencing all these horrible things and being told, you know, all these scary things about the devil.
Yeah.
And it's like, so just, you know, hey, Jesus, you know, help me out here. And, you know, it didn't exactly work that way. It was, I guess the thing that I had learned first was it's not always about the sounds or sights. A lot of it is psychological. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you're going to hear your sounds. You may see something, mm-hmm, but it worked on a level of more of psychology. Just pumping fear, yeah, into people, you know, letting it know, or it's letting us know, I should say, that, hey, I'm here and you ain't gonna do nothing about it. You know, just puffing its chest. It was not a fun experience. It certainly did play a lot of head games with me and other family members. There were physical things that had happened.
Yeah.
And it terrified me. And I wanted nothing to do with it at all. If somebody had said ghost, I was like, nope, see you later. But again, that comes with having an experience with somebody in my family. And I'm not knocking my grandmother, you know, God rest her soul, but that's scary.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in here, I'm like, I'm barely even a teenager. I wasn't even a teenager at that time. And the people who, you know, the people who are supposed to, like, protect you and things like that, when you see that they can't even get a handle on it, that just makes things even scarier.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, yeah, there were physical things that had happened. Most of it was psychological. Yes, I didn't realize it at the time, but I did see how it liked to divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it, even though the experience sucked, I actually took away something from that. You know, I actually learned from that. Maybe not right away. You know, I didn't think about it at the time. It wasn't until many years later where I was like, oh, wow. You know, kind of like putting things together. So I, in such a way, was kind of dragged into getting into the paranormal.
Yeah.
I was with a friend of mine at a restaurant. At that point in time, it was like the adult thing, even though we were a bunch of teenagers, to go hang out at this restaurant and drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, this friend of mine, he was just kind of poking fun at me about the house. I had told a friend of mine that we had, like, these things going on in the house, and, you know, he kind of laughed at it and then started telling, the school kids about it. So yeah. I kind of got some crap about that. My friend's kind of giving me a little crap about it. And behind me is a group of older people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who they were. I just knew people were sitting behind me, and I was kind of embarrassed because my buddy's giving me crap about the house, you know, being haunted or was haunted at that point in time.
Yeah.
And he got up to go use the bathroom. On his way to the bathroom, he ran into some other friends. He started talking to them, and one of the guys got up from that booth, come over to me, and started asking me questions. And I'm like,
sketchy.
Who are you? Right? Like, who are you? Why are you asking me these questions? So he then introduced himself and wanted to learn more about the experiences and, you know, seeing if things were still going on. And then, excuse me, then he knew I wasn't going to talk. Like, I just did not want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So he said, hey, I tell you what, you know, maybe we'll take you with us to a place, you know, that we know is safe. You're away from everything, and we'll talk about those experiences. Cause they really wanted to know what went on.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I'm like, no.
Multiple reasons why no. Like, you're a creepy dude, you're talking
right,
to me, and now you want to take me to a safe space? No.
Yeah, the whole thing was just a little too creepy for me, you know? So he just kind of gave up. And also, a friend of mine, he was coming back to the table. 2 weeks later, I ran into the guy again. I was with my dad at this point in time. We were at a gas station, and the guy walks up to me. He's like, hey, you remember me? And I'm like, oh, crap.
No, I don't. No.
And he was a little more persistent, and I was kind of like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. So I gave him the house number because, you know, cell phones, you know, that wasn't a thing when I was that young. I wasn't expecting a phone call. That phone call happened like a week later or 2 weeks later, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember my dad going, hey, there's some guy on the phone wanting to talk to you. And I'm like, what? So I get the phone, and I'm like, as soon as he says, hey, Joe, and I'm like, oh, crap.
Dang it.
Yeah. Now, he was the son of the two people who founded the team, Jeff and Linda. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, yeah, my parents will be there, my sister will be there, some other people will be there. We've investigated this home a few times. You'll be fine there. Yeah. And I'm like, crap. You're like, this is happening? He's like, we just need your address, and we'll come and get you. We'll come and get you Friday night. And I'm like, okay. Gave him my address, and then I'm like, now what am I supposed to tell my parents? Like, I'm gonna go ghost hunting, guys. You know, like, what am I supposed like to tell them? Like,
hey mom, so, hey dad, there's gonna be a minor abduction this weekend.
Right.
But don't worry.
Because I was worried about that. I'm like, what if they're like gonna kidnap me and do like these horrible things to me? Like, what is going on here? I just told my parents that I was spending the night at a friend's house, and his family was gonna come and get me. And, okay. And that's how that happened. I went. I was scared. I was terrified because of my own experiences from, you know, the house that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And really, I just sat in a kitchen with the team. I mean, of course, the team, they're still investigating, so they're kind of in and out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I just sat in the kitchen and just talked to everybody about the things that happened in the house. So, I mean, I was expecting, like, all hell to break loose or something. Like, I had no idea what to expect. And then I went again and continued to go. I have no idea why they thought it was a great idea for this, you know, 14-year-old kid to go with them. That was late October. And I believe, yeah, late October. And then it was November when I first went with them. Mm. And then it wasn't until the new year that I went with them again. And like I said, I continued to go. I started to realize that what they do is very boring. And I started to believe that people who were claiming that their houses were haunted, I honestly thought that they were lying or they were crazy.
Yeah.
Because when I was there, I never experienced anything. Now, of course, I was not investigating. Yeah. I was just there with them watching and learning as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was bored. And then like at one point, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is really boring. People are crazy and like lying and like, this is insane. Eventually, they said, all right, Joe, you're going to go with Bill. And you guys are going to investigate, you know, this part of this home. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, what? I'm doing what? And man, I was bored. I was absolutely bored out of my mind. Like, I'm trying to like ask these questions. Like, and it's funny when you investigate with people who don't really investigate, and you're like, hey, go ahead, ask a question, and they, you know, you genuinely feel stupid because you want to ask a good question.
Yeah.
So I'm just like spitting, you know, questions out. Hmm. And, you know, I don't know if I ever got any answers or not. They were the ones that handled, you know, all the evidence and stuff like that. But I was just bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
And when I got to a point where I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore, you know, then I started to experience stuff in other people's homes. So then I was like, okay, that was freaking scary. Because again, I still have it in my head, you know, ooh, demons and stuff, bad.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I was like, I want to experience that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and again, and again, you know, so. Yeah, I learned really quick too that this stuff is actually boring.
yeah, and you've got to feel a little crazy because you're literally just sitting there and asking questions to dead space. You feel like you're talking to yourself, and it makes you feel a little nuts.
It did there for a long time. Then eventually you just kind of get over it, and it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, everybody else who's with me is doing the same thing. Why feel dumb about it? But, I mean, I don't know. After having the experiences at other people's home, just something about it, you know, it's just like, ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you learn more and more things as time goes on, and continue to learn.
Yeah. So that's really crazy, though. So it's just insane that you're just sitting there having coffee with your friends, and then, like, 3 weeks later, you're just out with a bunch of strangers in a haunted location.
Yeah, that is weird. It's very weird. And I can tell you this, that very same friend, he unfortunately passed away years ago. He had an addiction problem.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what he died of. Mm. And he lived in a house that was haunted. They knew it was haunted. And his sister got a hold of me and said, hey, I bought my brother's house, man, and there's like really crazy stuff that goes on in here. Mm. Now, I wasn't in the position to go and investigate because I was living in a completely different state. Now, I'm originally from Michigan. Mm-hmm. But at one point we moved back to Michigan and I got in a position to where I could actually investigate her home. And I did. Mm-hmm. And just everything about that was weird.
Yeah.
You may hear me talk about this entity that calls itself Seven, and this is just strange. When I got in a position to where I could investigate her home, I was actually with another team, mm-hmm. and with them I did 6 investigations, and I just didn't. I felt like it was nothing against them. I just felt like I wanted to do this on my own.
Yeah.
I had more experience than they did, which is fine. That's absolutely fine. But I just felt like I just felt this pull to just go on my own. Mm-hmm. So I broke away from that team. Now, during the time with that team, we would go and investigate, and through a lot of our devices, we kept getting Seven. But it never clicked. Mm-hmm. I did say, why are we getting Seven all the time? Like, what is the deal with Seven? Why is this coming through all the time? But then we were just like, probably has something to do, you know, with the radio stations. I mean, the phone numbers and stuff like that around here, they have a Seven in them. Very, very, very common to have Seven in our neck of the woods as a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, we just kind of blew it off. I honestly wish I would have picked up on it sooner. So we had actually investigated Posttown Elementary School. That's where it really started popping through.
At an elementary school?
It was Posttown Elementary School.
That's crazy, though, that it's... Okay, yeah, continue. That's just crazy. Yeah.
So, John, team member, had asked, you know, who are you? What's your name? Well, something came through, and at that point in time, we didn't hear it. And then he asked again, and something came through and said, demon. Now, we kind of laughed about that. Because we're like, okay, yeah, okay, demon, right. Whatever. Yeah, you know, just like... You know, come on. I mean, if I was a ghost, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a demon, you know, boom, you know. So I broke away from that team. That was our 6th investigation that I did with them. Mm-hmm. But I also resetted my count as well. So my time back in Michigan, you know, I'm like, okay, so here's, you know, coming back now to Michigan. Here's, you know, investigation 1, 2, 3, so on. So my friend's sister gets a hold of me, says, hey, here's what's going on at my house. I'm like, all right, cool. That was my 7th investigation back in Michigan. Her address ended with the 7. Her house is the 7th house on the block, on the corner. Her brother at that point in time was dead 7 years.
What the frick? Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding.
No.
So, And I didn't put any of that together at that point in time. I investigated the house. I was thinking, look, everybody exaggerates. It's not like they're purposely lying, but when something genuinely scares you,
yeah,
you exaggerate that. Mm-hmm. And it's not, again, that can't be helped. It was a very profound experience, and you're going to remember it far worse than what it really was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so bizarre because she thought, honestly, it was her brother. But I'm like, her brother and I at one time were best friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know he likes to joke around and stuff like that, but that doesn't sound like anything that he would do.
Yeah.
I talked to some other people. She did have roommates, and they were telling me stories, you know, of what was going on there. So that, you know, led to credence towards, you know, something going on in the house. Mm-hmm. I investigated the house, and I had names were coming through. My ex-wife, we were married at the time, her name was coming through. It called out, you know, my daughter. It called out her daughter. Mm. And I'm like, this is not right. Like, this thing should not know anything.
No.
About me. Or you know, anybody in my family. Like, this is impossible. Which was, you know, that was a red flag. Getting growled at very loud, and then going back and listening to everything that you were using to record with, whether it's video, audio, mix of both.
Yeah.
The growl's not there. All it is a pop, but we heard a growl.
Yeah.
And this thing was not shy about letting me know that it was there. Mm. So, I mean, heavy, heavy footsteps. It sounded like we were on the second floor. It sounded like somebody was coming up the stairs with intent. I mean,
yeah,
you could hear the each step buckle. And I'm like, there has to be somebody in this house. There has to be somebody else in this house. And they're like, no, the doors are locked. And the doors, every door has a set of bells on the door handle. So if somebody tries to come in, the bells will make a sound.
Yeah.
And she'll know, hey, somebody's coming in. Not to mention the fact that, you know, she has two very big dogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever was coming in wasn't exactly going to get by the two dogs. I had a hard time with the dogs. They kept trying to nip at me. They were barking at me. They got used to me, you know, as time went on. But, man, so I wanted to go back and investigate. We just needed to figure out, you know, when would be a good time. After I did that house, I started having horrible dreams, man. It was always the same. And it just kept happening. And all around me, like, things are falling apart. Things aren't going right. Marriage is getting really messed up. But I had this horrible nightmare. I woke up. I'm like, something's going on. I am missing something. What the hell's going on? So I get out of bed. I go to my computer and I start going through everything. And I come back to the spot where we went to Post Town. And I was just kind of skimming through some of that stuff. And I got to a part where, as I said earlier, John asking, hey, what's your name? Or what are you? Whatever the question was. A name come through. I'm like, okay, I got to figure out what that name is.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and again, he asked the question again, and it said demon. I'm like, okay, let's see if I can figure out what this name is. Well, I did figure out the name. And then I'm like, well, how do you spell this thing's name? Well, I ended up getting it right, which was a rare thing to happen. I'm like, oh, well, okay. Then I started reading. And then I started seeing, you know, the connections with seven. I'm like, whoa, because now I'm like, wait a minute. I was not looking for any of that. That I did not expect. And the more I started digging into it, the more I realized, oh, no. Like, the things that are its profile
yeah,
is starting to add up to what I was going through. Not only me, but also my former teammates and the people who were living in my buddy's house, like his sister and some of her friends.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm in trouble, and I'm probably not going to be able to do much about it, because with any kind of demonic thing, it's always steps ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it knows what it's doing. It knows how to play the game. So, yeah, my life turned upside down, and it was horrible. It was horrible. excuse me again.
You're good.
I'm getting a cold.
Oh, no.
Yep. So, yeah, my life turned upside down. I don't want to get too much into what went on with that.
Yeah.
It's very personal. And
of course. Of course.
It still, like, bothers me. So,
yeah.
I got out of the paranormal for 2 years.
Okay.
It was that bad.
That's just insane. Like, something finds you before you even get to this house. And everything just starts adding up and points to this thing. And he's literally just like, it's like The Shining when Jack Nicholson chops the door open. He's like, here I am. Like, that's just right. Freaking crazy. The fact that it almost seems like he was, like, calling to you when you were at that elementary school. Like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I honestly, like, what you just said there, that had gone through my head. Like, holy crap. Like, I felt like I was trapped. Like, something set a trap. And here, you know, again, even having a lot of experience, you know, it doesn't mean you're an expert. It doesn't mean you can just, like, immediately put things together.
No, yeah.
They're way ahead. And the other thing, too, is on the other side of the block of that house, one of the guys who was on our team lived in a house. Well, they still do. He was saying it was haunted. We investigated his house. And Seven was coming through, and the man who actually passed away in this investigator's house, his name was Joe. So what? While we're there, we're thinking, we're communicating with this dude named Joe, because we heard Joe clear as day. And I do have this footage. You can hear, yeah, Joe. It's Joe clear as day. But was it saying that it was Joe, or was it saying, hey, it's Joe, as in me?
Interesting. And
to make things a little weirder, across the street on that block, my stepdad's grandparents used to live in a house, like, across the street from him. Mm. My mom and stepdad, they lived in the apartment above their house. So it's so bizarre.
Wow.
How close everything is that has something to do with me.
It's just so deep-rooted. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was so... I mean, I don't know. It's bizarre. Sometimes I think, God, man, are you making imaginary connections? Or you're crazy? What's going on here? But I struggled with that for a little over a year, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to be done with the paranormal.
Yeah.
Like, man, it literally beat me down. So, what happened was, my wife and I had actually split up for divorce now, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine there, because a lot of people are like, oh, man, you know, like, so how does you and the ex-wife get along? We get along fine.
Yeah.
but, yeah, well, I mean, we have kids together. So.
Yeah.
So we still, even though separated, still work together, mm-hmm, as a team when it comes to the kids.
That's great.
But what happened was, again, you know, dealt with that thing for like a year and a half. My mom ended up passing away.
Mm, sorry.
And and this was back in 2016, my mom ended up passing away, and I don't know, something just clicked. It's like, look, you know, I have this newfound freedom.
Yeah.
And there are places that I've always wanted to go to that I've never had a chance to. And if I was still married, and not knocking my ex-wife, but if I was still married, I would not be able to go.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going to happen. So it was one of those, well, you only got one shot. I decided, instead of just sticking with residentials, I want to go to these big locations that I've always wanted to go to.
Yeah.
So after my mom's funeral and all her services and stuff like that, May of 2016, I made the decision. Just go do it. Go to these places, you know, meet other people, have fun. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there's so much in what you just, in what you were just saying. Like, it's insane how much the demonic can literally just plan everything out so meticulously and can use every little bit of your past to truly mess with you. It's insane. And I hate to just instantly jump to the word demonic. I'm not one of those people. But this clearly is nothing but. And man, like it raises so many questions because and this is just my mind, you know, running off in a direction with what you've given me here. And it's, what if, and I don't know if it is, but what if 7 is what was messing with you when you were a kid?
There is that possibility.
Yeah.
You know, but I was a kid, so yeah. A lot of the things that had happened, you know, I mean, I remember them, but there's a lot of details that I definitely don't remember.
Of course.
But this, I will say that I don't think it was the same, because there were some differences, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean, hell, you could be right. I don't know. But this particular entity that likes to call itself 7 is more of a relationship destroyer. And, you know, so, no, again, listeners, take all this with a grain of salt. You know, I mean, all signs, all evidence points to this particular entity, but I'm not going to sit here and say with 100% certainty either that it is this particular entity. But the entity causes certain illnesses. Okay. It will make animals sick, and that's something that was experienced. We have a little weenie dog. We love this little weenie dog. She's the funniest thing in the world. We will do anything and everything for this little weenie dog.
Yeah.
Our weenie dog, while this was going on, got sick for no reason. My ex-wife took her to the vet, and they were like, we have no idea what's going on. It's like she's dying.
What?
And then like a week later, she's fine. And nobody knows. Like, the vets have no clue what happened. They're like, well, it was like she was dying. And now she's okay.
But if my baby boy starts getting a little sick, God, no. I will do anything.
Right.
That's, no, dude. Like, that is awful, man. Like, I may sound a little insensitive here. You could do anything you want to me or the people in my family, but you do not touch my dog.
Right. No, I mean, because animals are truly innocent of anything. They're just like, hey, you know, they love you no matter what. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they don't ask for much except for some attention, to be fed and just taken care of. That's it. But, I mean, they're like, not nagging at you. They're not.
Yeah. It also makes sense, though. like that a demon would go after an animal, especially a dog, because dogs are very much the... I had this conversation last night with a former coworker, but dogs are very much the protector of people. And I honestly feel, you know, it's so cheesy to say, but dog spelled backwards is God. But it makes sense. You know, I feel like there is a little bit of that light in animals, and it makes sense that a demon would be like, no, I gotta take out the protector.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that. Plus, also, going after somebody you love, or even an animal that you know, that is a part of your family,
yeah,
that's just a way to get to you.
It is, 100%. 100%.
One of the things I tell people is hey, you know, if they walk into a location that where many have claimed that there's something demonic there, mm-hmm. And I sit there and I hear, not everyone, just, you know, some people now and then, they're like, hey, you know, if you're supposed to be demon or whatever, come at me. Let's see what you got, you know.
Okay, that's stupid.
And pushes. I'm like, just because you want it to come at you doesn't mean it's going to come at you.
Exactly.
It'll come at somebody else to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, make no mistake about it.
And it might not be your family. It may be just the people that you're there with. So, like, I've talked about this on the show. Guys, if you're listening, don't be dumb. Just don't be dumb. Don't be dumb.
Right. Now, will I push? Sure. But there's a time and place for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
By no means do I sit there and you know, oh, I'm a demonologist. Oh, I'm some kind of like paranormal exterminator. No, I am not. I know my place. If I push, I don't want to push too hard, but I want to push enough to where hopefully we can get a response. Now, a lot of places that I've gone to where people are like, oh man, you know, it's really haunted. And then they tell me all these experiences they had. I go there and I'm like, holy crap, this is like, well, it always is, but it's like, this is boring.
It's like a regular Tuesday.
Sit in a chair. I'd be like, man, you're the worst ghost ever. I'm like, I went to this place and here's what happened. Now I'm comparing. I'm comparing that spirit with another spirit. I'm like, you know, hey, we hear the, you know, I've heard there's a demon in here. Well, I don't know about that. And I will tease. I will be like, ooh, demon, watch out, guys, you know. There's a demon in here. Look how bad he is.
Just imagine, like, you
not doing anything. Ooh, scary.
Just imagine you sitting in a chair.
Make it home.
Just sitting in a chair and hearing like a minor creak and being like, ooh, bush right. league. Come on, kid. Those are rookie numbers. You got to get those up.
Right. And there are times where I've pushed. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. You push, and a lawn chair comes flying through a window. Then you're like, okay, there may be a demon here.
Well, maybe not to that extreme, but... you know, I've been to Hales Bar Dam probably more times than anybody else, except for the staff that's there.
That's crazy.
And there are times where it's like, oh, crap, that's crazy. And then there are other times where it's like, nothing's happening. I do believe that I think certain people can, I don't know if I want to say trigger activity happen, but I think, but not all the time. And I'll explain. Okay. When I go to a location, it's very rare that I experience what a lot of other people have experienced, because I'm not trying to say that I'm like, you know, I'm Billy Badass, if I can say. I'm not afraid. Yeah. I am just genuinely not afraid. And I think a lot of times when people go into these locations and they are afraid, they are nervous, I think that spirits can pick up on that and use that. But there are times, like if you go to a location and you're thinking like worst case scenario, well, you might experience the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Or you just might not. You may go into a location and be like, oh, we're going to talk to all these, you know, friendly ghosts, and it's going to be so much fun and, you know, going to be learning about these experiences. And then you get something completely different that you just were not expecting. But
yeah,
I do believe that you can definitely get what you take into an investigation.
Yeah. And that is a phenomenal point. And I'm very much of that mindset. Sometimes, like, I'm going on my first investigation coming up here very soon, like for the first one in like 10 years, and I've come to the realization that if I go in expecting nothing to happen, that it may have a better outcome, because I don't know how to explain it. Like, if you go in expecting nothing to happen, and you're not going in like, oh, this place is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference. There's a difference, right, when you go in as, you know, an unexpecting person. Because then almost, like, I feel like they're like, oh, well, if he doesn't believe I'm here, maybe I need to pump up the volume a little bit.
Right. Basically, what you're saying is what I do. When I go to any location, I'm like, and I don't care how many times I've been, I don't care how crazy the place has been,
yeah,
I go in there like, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And usually nothing does happen, but I mean, the first time I went to Hales Bar Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually going to film something there. So I went in earlier than the rest of the group to get some B-roll footage. While I was in there, and I wasn't expecting anything to happen, it's daylight. It was like, yeah, afternoon or something. I wasn't expecting anything. And when I went into that place, man, I heard footsteps. I heard some chatter. I heard old music being played. And I mean, it sounded like it was coming off of a record player, but it was, wow, like it was warped. I heard a dude say, help me, like, clear as day. And I'm like, dude, I'm glad I'm recording all this stuff, because this is insane. If I wasn't and I told people this, they'd probably be like, oh, yeah, that's cool, whatever. So I was like, holy crap, you know. And then when we went to go and investigate, I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, when you think you've seen it all, or you've experienced basically what you're going to experience, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, something happens. And this particular night that we went in to investigate, it was Gary Fisher and I from, he was in C-First Paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were walking into Hales Bar Dam. We were coming into the entrance where the tunnel is. Now, Jeff, when he was there, he was actually ahead of us, and he was walking in that direction ahead of us going into the tunnels, but he veered off to the right and went into the break room that's not attached to the tunnels or the dam itself.
Hmm.
But Gary and I, we walked in there, put our gear down, the rest of the crew's, you know, behind us outside joking around, having their cigarettes, whatever. And I see something on the corner of my eye, and I look, and I'm like, oh, it's just Jeff. He's just walking on by as if we didn't even exist.
Wow.
Walked on by, went down the tunnels. Gary, he seen the same thing. We thought nothing of it. You know, it's just Jeff, no big deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're just getting our stuff ready. Everybody else is now starting to pile in. And, you know, people are like, hey, we hear something down there. And Gary's like, well, yeah, Jeff is down there. They're flashing their flashlights down there. Like, there's nobody down there. And we're like, dude, Jeff just went down the tunnel. They're like, there's nobody there. So there was two Jeffs there at the time. The Jeff that we did not see, he comes in. He's like, no, man, I'm right here. We're like, no, not you, the other Jeff. And he's like, Jeff's been out here. He didn't come in here. He's been out here. Oh, you know, kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. But then Jeff comes in, the one that we had seen. He's like, oh, I've been outside. I went into the break room. I grabbed my smokes and I come out here, you know. And Gary and I just looked at each other. then it started to, like, I started to remember what I had seen.
Yeah.
I did see Jeff. The problem is, I only saw a profile of him. I seen part of his face. Mm. I seen his coat. I seen part of his jeans. But the thing was, is I never seen, when it came to like his feet, the lower half of his legs, I don't remember seeing anything.
Wow.
Past the knees. Neither did Gary. And I'm like, Gary, I'm like, did you notice him carrying a light? Like a blue light? And it looked like this blue light. It looked like he took a flashlight. He was just holding it against his stomach with the light aiming up towards his face as he was walking by. And he's like, you know, yeah.
What?
And we're just like, what the hell just happened? So I kind of like wanted to see, you know, if maybe he was joking around, but there was absolutely no way that Jeff, who's not going to run, he's not in that great a shape.
Yeah.
It's, all this happened within 30 seconds.
Jesus.
You got a long tunnel you have to go down. You got to go through a doorway to get into another room, then through a door on the other side of that room to get in this other room. And then there's another doorway to get into this other room. And then another doorway to get actually inside the main building, the plant itself, the powerhouse.
Yeah.
And
you
still have to take a decent walk to get out of that building, lock the gate, walk through the parking lot, and then right back where we were. He was not doing that in 30 seconds.
No. No, no, no.
So
that's just nuts, man. Like doppelganger, and, like ghost doppelganger stuff, just popping off out of nowhere.
Right, and I've never seen anything like that before. I've heard people talk about, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I don't know if they're telling the truth or not, but you know, then it happens to me and Gary,
and right in front of your face.
We've both seen it. We're like, holy crap, man. So. I mean, and we didn't even realize it at the time. And the part that really, that sets a fire under my hind end is that I thought about hitting record as we were walking in, just hitting record on my camera.
Oh, no.
But then I thought, because I do 4K.
Yeah.
So I only had like 264 gig cards. And the following day we were headed up to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Ooh.
So I was like, I need to watch, you know, how much I film.
Yeah.
I didn't record. I should have recorded.
Oh,
I may have been able to catch it. I'm like, oh, man.
The one that got away.
Oh, so mad. But then again, had I hit record, would we have seen it?
True.
Would that have happened?
True.
I don't know.
Because there's a lot of stuff that you can experience on an investigation that just does not translate over to your equipment. I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody catch a disembodied voice and it not translate over to any of the video or audio. They're like, oh, I just heard that. And you're like, I didn't hear anything. Like, no,
right.
It didn't happen. So.
and you know, over time going to Hales, and when we noticed that it would like to mimic equipment.
Mm.
So I mean, that's intelligent right there.
Yeah.
So sometimes you would hear a REM pod go off. I don't own a REM pod, and nobody else is using a REM pod. And we're like, well, what the hell just happened?
Who's like, using a REM pod?
There were nights where it literally sounded like somebody was using an electric saw.
What?
And it's late at night. Nobody's going to be using a saw at a marina.
Especially one with no power.
Right. Yeah, the place did not have any power at the time. It does now. But and it was just like, what in the world? So what I had started doing was, okay, it's able to mimic. Every time I go there, I'm going to do a specific whistle. And let's see if over time it can mimic that. And that's what happened. People started saying, hey, you know, I heard this whistle. And they would play it back for the people who were running the tours at the time, they're like, that's Joe's whistle. Every time he comes here, that's his whistle.
What?
Now, Kindred Spirits filmed at Hales. I was there for that. I was on TV for 18 seconds, and they made me kind of look like an... I made me look like an ass, but... they captured it, too. They captured the whistle.
That's right. I remember that episode. Oh, goodness. Wow.
And what I think one of the things that just kind of upset me with that episode was not, you know, I'm not afraid of Hales. And they made it off like I was afraid. And I really wasn't. And I'll tell you, they took an opportunity when I got distracted. We were doing the interviews. I was already nervous anyways. My brain was all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to Amy and Adam. Mm-hmm. And I had seen something on the upper floors of the powerhouse. And I stopped and I looked. I'm like, did somebody break in? Who is that? I wasn't thinking paranormal.
Yeah.
And then I then looked at the crew that was there, noticed that a camera guy was missing, and I kind of looked back up. I'm like, that's a camera guy. Okay. They used that opportunity to make it look like I was afraid of the place.
That was clearly a network move, which is why I despise networks that are in charge of paranormal things.
Right. So, and the sad part is that network knows exactly who I am. I've talked to people from there, and I've talked to production companies who are you know, they create content for Travel Channel.
Yeah.
So, they went with the whole Indian curse. Now, I had already told them there was no Indian curse.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, but for some reason, people want to spin it as a curse. Well, they went with the Indian curse. And that was just disheartening. But again, that was a network move. But, you know, a lot of people will say, all these television shows, they're fake. Don't trust them. I watch closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not see them fake anything. I did not see them manipulate anything. From what I could see, everything was clean. What got me was there was a lot more evidence that was captured. They captured a full body operation inside the dam. It never made it on air. There were quite a few really cool things that never made it on air. And when I asked, they said, because people will say it's fake. I'm like, well, I already think it's fake anyways. You might as well put it out there.
And for those of us that know what we're looking at, it can be like, oh, dang.
Right. So that was a fun experience. A little bit of disappointment with some of it. But overall, though, it was cool.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that's so cool that you were able to, you know, hop onto a show like that, even just for a few minutes. It sucks how it came out, but it's still really cool that you were able to meet some people like Adam and Amy. I know that they're really good people, and you know, that's you know, like you said, a really good experience, despite some of the minor no thank yous. But
right.
That's awesome. So, as we are wrapping this up, Joe, man, thank you for being on the show. Like, this there was so much.
I can't believe time's already up. Holy cow, I could have kept going.
Well, we will. That just means that we'll have to have you back. That's all that means.
Yeah, hey, anytime.
That's awesome. So, guys, I thank you guys for listening at home, and I hope you guys learned some stuff here today. Joe, before we go ahead and finish up, could you throw out any social medias that you have that they can find you?
Let's see. I have my people call it their professional page. I'm just like, it's just another page. You know, Joe Vitale on Facebook. The last name is spelled Vitale. And then I have a YouTube channel, which, pardon the dust, it's kind of crazy and all over the place. but I have that, and it's Truth Paranormal, Joe Vitale. Yeah, it's a dumb name. but I chose it on purpose as sort of a joke. There you can find the stuff that I was talking about with Seven, the experience with the doppelganger, except I only got our reactions, and a lot of other stuff. You guys will see that I've been all over the place. I've traveled all over the country, going to different places. Be on the lookout for The Harrisville Haunting. It is a documentary that we filmed at the Conjuring House. Yeah, it's been taking a long time to get that done. But, you know, hopefully here soon we'll be able to get a date as to when exactly it'll come out and more information about where it'll be available at.
That's awesome. Yeah, everything these days is taking a lot of time. Hashtag COVID. Anyway.
Yeah.
Guys, a huge thank you to Joe for coming and hanging out with us. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name because I'm going to butcher it. But Joe, thank you so much again for coming and hanging out with us. We're going to have you back. But guys, while you're out there and you're following Joe, and you're checking out everything that he's doing while you're out there and doing that, make sure you follow, like, subscribe, give love to everyone in the paranormal community. No matter how big, no matter how small, everyone needs the love and support. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we'll talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.